Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Accomplish Radio Show. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplish Magazine, bringing you another phenomenal guest to our show today. And just want to remind those folks that are tuning in and listening to today's broadcast that we're working on our next issue of Accomplish Magazine, and you can go get your free subscription at AccomplishMagazine.com. If this is your first time joining us, we're really glad you found us. We've actually had over 18,000 listeners tuning into our show every weekday, and we just celebrated over 100 shows, so we're really excited about that. And if you'd like to listen to this broadcast again or have your friends hear our interview, just you can actually hear today's show, which will replay all day at AccomplishMagazine.com. It's also available as an MP3 download on iTunes, which is kind of nice to be in that community. And we'd like to encourage you to look us up on Facebook. We just started our brand new fan page. We're switching everybody over from our group into our fan page. Lots of our guests that we've had on our show that are experts in social networking and social media had told us that, you know what, you shouldn't have a group, you should have a fan page. So we're doing what they're telling us to do. Actually, you can submit some of your accomplishments to us there because we want to hear all about the great things that you've been working on. And if you've been listening to our show on a regular basis, you know I interview someone new every day and share their accomplishments with you. And we actually, starting in 2011, started doing themed shows. And for the month of February, we've been interviewing experts on relationships, both professional and personal. And you're going to love today's guest. Her name is Carol Allen, and she's from California. And she is a Vedic astrologer, a relationship coach, and radio host who's been happily married for over 10 years. And Carol Allen has made it her mission to show women how the stars combined with their own right actions can help them make the most of their life as they're going through their love life. And her methods are unique. She blends East and West philosophies, combining her training in astrology from the India with cutting-edge real-world relationship research. As the author of the best-selling ebook Love is in the Stars, Carol covers little-known but critical astrological truths about love. Her favorite insights into compatibility can be found in The Right Man Report, using the most accurate in-depth technique in all of astrology. Generations to arrange from arranged marriages. Interesting. It instantly identifies how to make the most of things with a potential or current mate. And if you or if you're searching for a new mate, and she's got a free e-newsletter that's available that can help you get better clarity on this and. It explores all the life-changing material and so much more. And Carol's been featured on Lifetime Television, on E! Television Network, Bridezilla's, how fun, CBS News, and The Chicken Soup for the Soul, Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Soul, Woman's World, and Daily Candy. And you can learn more about Carol's programs and also to subscribe to her newsletter at loveisinthestars.com. But I'd like to go ahead and welcome to our show today, Carol Allen.
Hi. Thank you, Darlene. Good morning.
Hi. I'm so glad you were able to spend a little time with us this morning and get a chance to know you a little bit better. And you're a friend of a mutual friend that we actually had on our show, Jonathan Astley. He's one of our guests that we interviewed in February. He's also a relationship expert. And he referred us to you and said you're very
great.
Talented. So we're real excited about our interview today.
He's great. A lot of men, when they first come to me, they're very skeptical and they're sort of like, prove it, you know, show me. So he put me through some tests and I passed. So that was fun.
Oh, that's good. Well, as you know, I'm in the show me state. I'm in St. Louis. And
that's hilarious.
You know, yeah, and you know what? I'm so intrigued by astrology. I've done, you know, lots of reading and research, and I've been able to do a little here and there. But, you know, it's tell me how you got started in being an astrologer.
Well, golly, I'll give you the quick, hopefully interesting version. It's funny, I actually had a sister far more into it than I was, and she was a big fan of Linda Goodman and all those books, you know, sun signs and love signs, and she even had a book called Sexual Astrology. And and it was, you know, supposedly every Capricorn in the world is the same beneath the sheets, and every Gemini in the world is the same. And so she was a voracious reader and would talk about it all the time, and we both came to it for the same reason most people truthfully come to it. We both wanted to understand boys. We both wanted it to help us with boys. And so we'd meet a guy and we'd try to find out his birthday in a coy, sort of circuitous way. And then we'd race home and whip out the books. And it was really fun, but the only problem was is it didn't really work, because not every Capricorn is the same. Not every Gemini is the same. And so cut to, I was 23. I was living in Los Angeles. And for the first time in my life, I was kind of lost. I was having that classic quarter-life crisis. I had always been a great student. I'd always had a fantastic life. I'd always been very accomplished, a word that you like, Darlene. And and suddenly, when the map wasn't given to me as to what to do, I started floundering and went through a big depression and didn't know what was the matter, and went to a party in this depressed state, thankfully, went to a party and met a Vedic astrologer at the party who a friend of mine had worked with for over a decade. And she said, oh my gosh, you won't believe how incredible it is, how accurate it is, how amazing it is. So I had a reading with him, and he completely nailed everything I was going through. And he looked at my chart. I was trying to be an actress, which is also why I was depressed. And he looked at my chart and he said, oh, you're, no offense, but your stars say you have disappointment in the arts, and you're supposed to be some sort of spiritual teacher, some sort of counselor or, you know, advisor. And so that was like the biggest relief. And he said, your love life must be difficult, which it was. And he said, don't even bother trying to get married until you're 30. And in your 20s, you're going to have a really turbulent time. Well, I was so comforted by this and so helped, and I felt that it was so accurate, that I started studying with him. And it just so happened that there was a school for the kind of astrology that I do, which is, like I said, Vedic, which is from India. There just happened to be a school for it 6 blocks from my house. I started going there, and I befriended all these wonderful astrologers who gave me computers and gave me books and spent endless hours volunteering their time, helping me learn this amazing system. And then the same thing would happen to everyone I would read. You know, I would read my roommate, and he would send his mother, and then she would send her girlfriend, and next thing you know, my phone was ringing off the hook. And then everything he said came true. I became, you know, a spiritual counselor of a sort, and boom, I got married at 30. So,
wow.
Very, very powerful stuff.
Wow, that's incredible. And, you know, I know a lot of the folks that tune into the Accomplished Radio Show are, you know, I would say it's probably a mixed portion of people between, you know, male and female, predominantly mostly women. So we'll probably try to address mostly the women. But at the same token, you know, there's a mix of married and single individuals. So we want to kind of talk a little bit about both in today's interview. And
of course,
you know, so let's talk about singles first. And you know, forgive me, it's been a long time since I've been single and out in that world. But you know, what do you think the most important thing singles can do to change their single status?
Well, you know, it's such a great question, Darlene, and I'm so glad you asked me, because what happened in starting to give readings is quickly I noticed all anybody wanted to talk about was love. Just like my sister and myself, where everybody was turning to astrology because of boy-girl stuff. And often they wanted to blame the stars for what was going on, or they wanted to, you know, they weren't making very much self-effort. And over the years, I've befriended so many lovely relationship experts and matchmakers and internet dating experts. And I actually had my own radio show for 3 years where I interviewed relationship experts every week. It was so great. And universally, we all say the same thing, which is that singles are far too passive about this part of their lives. This part of their lives that they claim is the most important thing to them, they act like it's the 10th most important thing. Or the 50th most important thing. And I think it's because it's so important that it's so painful when they do make an effort and it doesn't go well, or they don't get what they're hoping for, They get so discouraged so easily that, and then, you know, especially people who are open-minded and into spiritual stuff, we've all been sort of trained to believe it's supposed to just magically happen, you know, and romantic comedies and fairy tales have contributed to this, of course, too, that we're supposed to just trip over our soulmate on the way to, you know, some banal activity. And that's just really not how it usually works. People who end up happily married really, for the most part, made an effort. There's an amazing book that's my favorite book for singles, even more than my books. And it's called Why Men Marry Some Women and Not Others. And even though the title is for women, anybody can benefit that's single reading this book. And the overwhelming message of the book is that people who end up happily married, and this was a research study over a decade where they interviewed almost 1,000 couples coming out of marriage license bureaus, overwhelmingly the people getting married made a tremendous effort. And the women in particular went out 3 times a week with the intention of finding him. And, you know, so many beautiful, amazing, fabulous clients come to me and they say, I never meet anyone I like, and I it's been so long since I've had a relationship, and clearly the stars have cursed me. And I say, how many groups are you in to meet people? And they're like, what? How often do you talk to strangers? What? How often do you get set up? Huh? You know, and do you work with men or do you work with the opposite sex? Well, no, I'm a school teacher. Well, no, I'm a Pilates instructor. Well, no, I'm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes pretty inevitable they're going to stay single if they're going to keep doing it the way that they're doing it. So that's my number one tip is please make an effort. Please talk to strangers. Please consider the kind of person you're looking for and go where they would go. And I know this sounds obvious, but in my experience, it's not what people are doing.
Yeah. It makes sense to go fishing where the fish are.
Yes. And when they're biting, you know. Fishermen get out there early in the morning. They don't wait till everybody's swimming and rowboating and, you know, water skiing when all the fish are gone. They go when the fish are there and where they are.
Oh, that's funny. No, that's a great tip because, you know, you're right. A lot of people won't do that. And you know what? That whole concept applies to a lot of other things across the board. If you want to accomplish more, you know, you don't just say you want to do it or think about it. You put, you know, steps into place and take some action. Nothing happens in this world without some sort of action, right?
Absolutely.
That makes sense. You know, I want to shift gears and talk about the number one love skill of all time, in your opinion. What do you think that would be?
Hey. Well, and again, this is going to sound obvious, but I can't believe how much people aren't doing this. The number one thing to succeed in any relationship, personal, professional, romantic, whatever, is to put the other person first. So instead of thinking, me, what's in it for me, which is what we're all, by the way, wired to do. We're all narcissists to a certain extent. try to think what's going on for the other person and how can I give them what they want. And when you're in a full committed relationship, my number one rule and tip is give your partner what they want, when they want it, no more, no less. Now, here's the great thing about this, Darlene, is it instantly tells you if you're with the right person. Because if you can't do that, if what they want is too offensive to you, too, you know, against your values, against your health, against, you know, dangerous to your property, et cetera, you're with the wrong person. And if you're with the right person, giving them what they want when they want it shouldn't be so difficult because you should have aligned values. And so what they want should be pretty easy to give them. And this becomes your guiding star in your relationship and will make the other person so happy with you that they will bend over backwards to give you what you want. Mm-hmm. So it's not a selfless, completely altruistic activity. It also is extremely good for you getting what you want ultimately.
I like that. It makes a lot of sense, too. And it's so simple. And, you know, but how many of us are really doing that? And you're right, putting someone else first is the key. I really, truly believe that. You know, what you know, when thinking about what is it that men really need to know about women?
Hey. Well, I'm a huge fan of research studies, and I'm a huge fan of sociology and linguistics, I love being a student of life, and I loved being a student, and so I'm a huge voracious reader, and overwhelmingly, whether it's linguistics, anthropology, archaeology, psychology, sociology, no matter what it is, they all basically, at the end of the day, say the same thing about what men need and what women need, and it's different. And what's exciting in the last, you know, decade plus is research on brain studies and a lot of psychology studies didn't factor in gender, and they do now. Mm-hmm. And they kind of accidentally noticed, in fact, researchers noticed that, you know, women researchers behave differently than male researchers. So this was what first made them go, hey, maybe we should separate the genders. So men, overwhelmingly, the most painful, difficult thing for a man is to feel shame. So anytime a relationship gets off track with a man, whether it's, again, your boss, whether it's your brother, whether it's your, you know, coworker, whether it's your boyfriend, whoever that man is, if things aren't going well with him, ask yourself, how have I shamed him? How have I made him feel badly? How have I told him he's failing me, he's a disappointment, he's not doing as well as he should? How have I talked down to him? How have I made suggestions he didn't ask for, which he heard as, you're a big dummy and I know better? So ask yourself, how have you shamed him? And then for women, overwhelmingly every kind of, you know, methodology points to the same thing, which is that the worst thing you can do to a woman is make her feel alone. Disconnection is death to a woman. So alone in her feelings, alone in her point of view, physically alone, literally alone, women freak out when they feel left alone. And so the way to make things go well with a woman is stay in touch. Check in. Tell her that you're thinking of her. And this is both personally and professionally. A lot of us have virtual jobs now, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of us work at home. I've spent the last 3.5 years doing huge projects with a big virtual company, and I get really anxious when I don't hear from anybody, when I don't hear from my managers, when I don't hear from the owner, when I don't, you know, and when they ping me just, hey, how's it going? Or, hey, here's what's going on with the project, or, hey, here's what's happening with this or that. It's like, and I crack up because I watch myself and I go, okay, Carol, you're being a woman. We need a lot of tending as women more than men do. So those are sort of the two sort of bare bones at the core things to keep in mind with the genders. Men never shame them. Women never leave them feeling alone.
Wow. That's perfect. I think that really cuts right to the chase on the two most important things for each gender. And
in relationships, when do women freak out? When we don't hear from our guy, right? Or when he says mm-hmm. he'll call and he doesn't. Or when he says he'll make plans with us and he doesn't. This is when women are absolutely crushed. And men, they withdraw when we're pressuring them or when we're telling them what to do or when we're coming to them like, I'm not getting enough, i.e. you suck, right? So this plays out all the time, and people think it's so unique to their relationships, but it's pretty universal stuff.
Wow, and you've been getting a lot of this through astrology. So, I mean, that's, you know, let's talk a little bit about some of your philosophies around, you know, astrology and, you know, why compatibility is not enough.
Well, that is the big, big, big core thing. You know, everybody who knows about astrology, they're thinking in terms of, you know, hey, Aquarius, you're great with Libra and Sagittarius. You know, they're thinking in terms of compatibility. And so just like my sister and I were, they come running to me wanting to know, are we compatible? Are the stars blessing this relationship? And compatibility is hugely important. But I quickly noticed over the years doing readings that couples with perfect compatibility were often unhappy, and couples with mediocre compatibility would often tell me they were happy. Now, the ones that are totally incompatible, were never happy. So that was true. But it wasn't enough to have perfect compatibility. And this is way more complicated than just that whole, like, hey, Aquarius, you're good with Libra and Sagittarius stuff. The system that I do has this incredible 15-step technique that's extremely rigorous and complicated. And you can get a perfect score in that and be miserable. So what I quickly noticed was more important than compatibility was something called capacity. It's more important to find somebody who has high relationship capacity than with whom you share high compatibility. So you'll instantly understand this, Darlene. Somebody with high relationship capacity is good at relationships. They treat people well. They're emotionally healthy. They're honest. They're balanced. And you can be compatible with an axe murderer, right? You can have great chemistry with...
I certainly hope not.
...a jerk. Well, that's an extreme. But you can be compatible with somebody that you wouldn't want to get anywhere near. So you can have great chemistry with a jerk, and I think we all have. You can have, you know, you can laugh at all the same things with an alcoholic. You can feel so much in common with somebody who hates their parents. So, you know, and then that's going to show up. All that great chemistry you have and all the things you laugh at and all the things you have in common, you're actually going to wish you didn't have that with them. Because as you go along, if they have low relationship capacity, they will not treat you well. They will be selfish. They will be angry. They will be moody. They will be, you know, unavailable somehow. And then the problem I see that people have is they think, well, if they really loved me, they would treat me well, and they'd be more available, and they'd be showing up more. And so they make it about love, when again, it's really about capacity. So they knock themselves out to win the person's love, not recognizing the person can't love anyone well. So then it becomes a big ego battle with themselves to prove that they're lovable, and that's a whole other conversation. So my job is often to tell people, look, this guy can't do it or this woman can't do it, and it's not your fault, and you can't love them enough to inspire them to become, you know, the person you're wishing they would be.
Wow. This is just great. I'm really glad that you and I are talking here. This just opens up, you know, a lot more discussion, especially around the whole astrology thing and, you know, the sun signs. You know, everybody talks about, you know, because, like, I'm a Capricorn, my husband's a Cancer, you know. I think
right.
I mentioned that to you when I was connecting with you going, oh, wait, I got to tell her before we get onto the show together, because you're probably going, opposites attract. That's the way I always see it, you know.
Yes.
Because
we
all complete opposites.
I like that combination. The only thing I would say is, do you work too much for him, and is he more sensitive than you are, you know? That would be the classic sort of Cancer Capricorn dance. But here's the problem. The system that I do, the dates are different for the signs. You guys might not be Cancers and Capricorns. And this got a lot of attention in January. There was this astronomer that was interviewed for some online magazine, and he said, oh, the signs are wrong, the dates are wrong, everybody's not really the sign they think they are. And it created this huge viral brouhaha, and Facebook exploded, and people freaked out, and it got picked up all over media, all over major media. And I had to laugh, because Vedic astrology has been saying that for centuries, and I'm constantly telling people they're not the signs they think they are. But even if they are, because some people are, so even if you are a Capricorn and he is a Cancer, your sun sign's only about 8% of the story. And in the system that I practice, we emphasize not only your whole chart to chart, but the moon sign is far more indicative of your feelings and emotions and psychology. So it's really how two people's moon signs go together that shows how they'll feel together. And most people don't even know their moon sign. If you go up to a stranger at a party.
I know both my husbands. And, mine is Aquarius.
Nice.
And his is Sagittarius.
Okay, those are lovely together. And, of course, Aquarius is the natural sign of radio. And the moon is what we emotionally focus on. It's media, it's technology, it's radio. So you seem right away to me like a moon and Aquarius girl. But Aquarius and Sagittarius are in the position of friends and family to each other. And what's great, I'll tell your listeners a little rule. So the zodiac is essentially a wheel. It's a circle. And if the man's moon looks as though it's coming up to the woman's. So Sagittarius is two signs behind Aquarius. So it looks on the wheel like he's approaching you. That makes him the man in the relationship. That makes him the leader between you. That makes him able to attend to you enough. If it were flipped, if you were the one with the moon in Sag and he was the one with the moon in Aquarius and it looked like you were coming up on him, that would throw you into the masculine role. Isn't that interesting?
It is. You know what? I just realized I think perhaps he has a Virgo. It's either his rising sign is Sag or a Virgo. I don't remember now, but it was.
You better find out.
yeah, because I'm like, I think maybe the moon sign itself was Virgo. Now that I'm thinking about that, so that would be reversed then.
But this is the problem with asking people their moon signs. You really can't.
Because you're like, I don't know what I am.
You can't run around parties going, hey, baby, what's your moon sign? It doesn't work. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is awesome. I love this. We're having such a great conversation here today. And,
Yay! You
know, we're almost at the end of our broadcast. But, you know, there's so many people out there that are just late bloomers when it comes to falling in love and to finding their soulmate. You know, what advice do you give to those folks?
Well, it's so interesting. You know, here in the West, we have a huge divorce rate, right? It's like... Mm-hmm. It's actually over 50%. I'm in Southern California where it's 75%. And the national average in the United States, also Canada and UK, it's very similar, is about 25 for women to get married and 26 for men. Well, when I became an astrologer, again, I quickly noticed so many people's charts, about half the population are what I call late bloomers in love, where it shows their true partner can't come until their 30s or later. But so many of us marry before that. And a large reason we have a high divorce rate is people are marrying before they're ready and before their true partner has come. And so it's like the starter marriage or it's like the early relationship. And in my practice, the bulk of my clients are women in their late 30s and early 40s who are starting to freak out. Because they haven't met him, and it hasn't happened, and they can't believe it. Because, again, they thought this part of their life would just magically work out. They thought they would trip over their soulmate on the way to work. And they can't believe they're single. And they come to me really starting to become hopeless. And what I see most of the time is that it simply hasn't been time. And then I can see when it is time. Just like I was told at 23 I'd get married at 30, and then I did. When it isn't time, it doesn't work, and it doesn't come together. And when it is time, it does. So what I spend a lot of time doing is telling people when they're in what I call a season of love, because that's when they need to join groups and talk to strangers and get online and mingle and mix. And when they're not, I try to help them focus on what will work back to being accomplished, when their efforts will yield results. So maybe it's not the love time, maybe it's the getting your degree time or getting your upper degree or starting your company or, you know, paying your dues at work and working 70 hours a week. Like maybe that's what time it is. And maybe that's okay. Because we were told we could have it all, our generation, Darlene, and no one told us the second half of the sentence, which is just not all at once.
Wow. That's it. You got it right there. You can't have it all at once.
So my biggest advice to the listeners is don't get discouraged and don't be hopeless. If you're older than you expected, maybe that's a good thing, because all those people that got married at 25 and they're late bloomers in love, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to go through some stuff.
They might be in round two by now.
Exactly. We're round two coming.
You know what, Carol, this has been wonderful. And, you know, so you look at their charts and
yes. –
And then do you give them some insights and say, so for those that are single, you might look at their chart and perhaps do you make recommendations or suggestions of the types of individuals that they should be looking for? So, I mean,
absolutely.
I guess that's the big thing. People are like, how do I know if Mr. Right walks through the door, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can tell from people's charts, will your partner be older or younger? Will they be foreign? Will they be creative? It's really funny. It's really amazing. Will they make money? You can see all that, and you can see timing. Most people come to me for the timing piece. So I do a lot with that. And then with couples, I do a lot helping them understand how to make the most of not just the system of their relationship, but how to understand each other more. And I have a free book to give your listeners today, if anyone would like it. Is that allowed? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I have a free newsletter at a site called rightmanreport.com. And I write just for women. Sorry, fellas. I actually have a lot of male readers who are sort of interloping and spying. But all my writing is geared toward women, because in my 20 years of giving readings, 99.9% of the people who come to me are women. So I've just chosen to talk to the population that seeks me. But at Right Man Report, I have a free book called Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants. And it's great reminders for women already in relationships of how to keep the love alive. And then it's great advice that I wish I'd had at 20 on how to, you know, date successfully and be the best you while you're on your quest for finding your soulmate. And again, it's at rightmanreport.com. And then they can find out about all kinds of fun stuff there and get my free newsletter. So
that's perfect. Love
this.
I'm so glad that we had a chance to connect today, Carolyn.
Me too.
You know, I mean, we just briefly got a chance to go over some things, but you highlighted some really simple but yet very effective ways that we can enhance the relationships that we're either already in or the new ones that we're looking to acquire and bring into our life. And, you know, Carol just uses a tool to assist in getting those things and, you know, doing astrology. So most of the readings that you do, I'm assuming you do them on the phone, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have clients all over the place. And
okay.
I record them too, of course.
Okay. And where can they learn about that? Where can they go and learn about getting a reading from you?
My private practice website is carolallenastrology.com. So it's CAROLALLEN astrology.com. I do short sessions, long sessions, and I have all kinds of articles there. And I have a calendar I sell that's personalized for everyone, and it helps them to see when will they accomplish things the most easily and what days are best for business.
No way.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Oh,
and that's at CarolAllenAstrology.com. Yeah.
That's fabulous. I think we're going to have some folks looking that up learning a little bit more about the things that you offer. And so are those the best places that people can connect with you? Are you
absolutely.
On the internet? I mean, like on social networking? And
you know, I'm really not. I have fallen in the internet marketing hole the last 4 years. I send out 4 newsletters a week. I have so much going on. And so when people say, why aren't you on Facebook? Why don't you? I'm like, if I do one more thing on my computer, they're going to have to put me in a rubber room. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have to haul me away. So do not look for me on Facebook. Even though I am there, I've posted, I think, 3 times in 6 months, and I never answer friend requests. I'm a horrible social networker, but luckily everything else is going great.
This has been wonderful. You know, I am so grateful that you took time out of your day to be with us and to share your expertise and your great suggestions on, you know, establishing and enhancing those relationships. You know, before we end our show today, is there anything else that you might want to share with our audience?
Well, I just want to congratulate you. I had a radio show for years. It's hard to build a big audience like you have, and I'm so happy for you. And, you know, a woman with the moon in Aquarius and the sun in Capricorn, you are unstoppable, darling. So congratulations to you. And, you know, the last thing I would say to anyone listening is if you want more love in your life, bring more love to others. We're all looking for what can we get, what can we get, but it's really, it's about what can you give. And when you're that person, everybody loves you and everybody wants to be with you, whether it's personally or professionally. So be that person.
Wow. Thank you again. I truly admire the person that you are, and I love your personality. You can just tell that you have, you know, you're so social, and, you know, the whole concept of connecting with people and really teaching them how they can be better in their relationships, what a gift that you truly have.
So, well, I'm a really blessed person, and I love what I do, so thank you, Darlene. Thank you so much. This was a blast.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for joining us again. And for our audience, just so that you know, you've been listening to the Accomplish Radio Show. And if you enjoyed our broadcast today, simply click on the Follow Us button. It's located on your screen. If you just visit AccomplishRadio.com, you can see our station. And if you'd like to be considered a guest on our show, you can simply submit one of our radio show requests that are located on our website. Of course, if you're an author, you know, we think that publishing a book is a huge accomplishment. And we'd love to review the book. Just go ahead and send us a copy, and we'll bring you on the air and get a chance to highlight all the great things that you write about and the things that you share. And so, again, Carol, thank you so much for being with us today on the Accomplish Radio Show. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Anytime. Thank you.
This is Darlene Willman, the publisher of Accomplished Magazine, signing out and wishing you a lifetime of accomplishments.